Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Morning, everyone. 36 minutes after the hour. This is Bill Arnold sitting in for Dr. Bill Meyer. And we are we're going to talk to David Wheaton. He's the host of the Christian Worldview and a former professional tennis player and all-around great guy and good friend of mine. And, you know, there's so much sports have been around forever. Scripture uses lots of athletic analogies, which we have seen in Corinthians and Hebrews and 1 Timothy, talking about discipline and training and self-restraint and focus. These are all good things we learn in sports. It helps reveal and develop our character. But there is a dark side to sports, and their motivations can be very self-centered, and it must be hard when you are playing at a level that, David, you played at. There's the temptations gets bigger, and everything gets more challenging. Safe to say that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, I do think that's correct, Bill. I mean, sports is a two-edged sword. On one side, it's a great thing for the revealing and development of character for young people. You know, this is the time of year when we used to think of, well, kids are out from school, they're playing sports in the summer, they're doing different things. Well, really, sports is an all-year-round thing now. So this is a evergreen-type subject for parents to think about how they should have their sons and daughters involved in sports, but not have the other side of the sword just take over their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the practices on Sunday mornings and missing church. It's the practices and the games at night. There's no more dinner at the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just become obsessed with winning and losing and college scholarships and everything else that goes with it. You know, the worldly motivations of pride and we're worried about ourselves and how we appear, embarrassment if we lose. I mean, there's the external pressures of peer influence and sexual immorality and drug use and cheating. You look at the newspaper almost every day and you see from the professional realm, these stories get communicated to us, but this also go on in the college in the junior student sports realm as well. So there are really good sides to it, but there's a difficult side to it as well. And this is where a Christian family can really integrate the principles of God's word to keep it all in perspective and have it be a great vehicle for the growth of character.
Mm-hmm. David, I just want to touch on this, but you just said embarrassment if you lose.
Mm.
It doesn't seem that that's embarrassing anymore. You lose, you still get a trophy.
Yes, in some ways that is true. Maybe that's the purpose why they give out trophies to everyone now.
Yeah.
They want everyone to feel so badly after they lose. Of course, you know, winning and losing is real life. And so I think those are another two aspects that are good about sports is that you learn that you're not going to win all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that sting of losing was something you worked hard for and then lost. That's hard to deal with, but it's in those lower moments that we can grow in character. It can make us purpose to improve and do better the next time. And I think those are good lessons that sports come from. Of course, the fear of losing is really the wrong kind of fear. We're focused on ourself instead of the real objective for sports is to focus on how we can do sports in a way, as it says in Colossians 3, whatever you do, do your work heartily or do your sports heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, not for yourself, but for God, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And that is the big pivot point in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Can parents and can youngsters be involved in sports and do it to serve the Lord Christ rather than themselves?
Mm-hmm. I love 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 8, says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness,
mm-hmm.
for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So let's talk about some of the, you just mentioned the way sports can interfere with some of the most important pursuits, which would be spiritual development. And now there are plenty of opportunities in sports today through Christian organizations to tie those two together. And that's of great value as well.
It is. I was just yesterday speaking with a couple of men who work for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, or FCA, and this organization is a great organization that seeks to have huddle groups for students at high schools, and they minister the Christian coaches to, quote, do sports God's way, just like we're talking about this morning. And And they really focus on using sports as a vehicle for spiritual development in the lives of these young people. So if there are parents out there who are involved in sports or have their kids involved in sports and want to find an organization that would be helpful for them, like in high school, they should look up their local FCA or contact FCA to see if there's some groups in their area. Because yes, sports is, you know, sports is one of those universal languages in across the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everyone, not everyone, but almost everyone, I mean, sports is so popular around the world. I mean, think about soccer outside the United States, even inside the United States now, but you, anywhere you go, people love sports. They watch sports. I mean, it, mm-hmm. it's almost to the point of fault in our society, to be honest. I mean, it's become an idol in our society, but just goes to show you how popular it is. And when you have something that popular, the universal language of sports, when you're involved in it, you can really use that sport to communicate with someone. It can be a point of leading to having conversations about the gospel and everything else, because it's a common interest of almost everyone.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about some of the worldly motivations and attitudes and fear and temptations, we don't have a lot of really good role models in sports, and kids are going to instantly gravitate to the stars. You know, thankfully we have people like Steph Curry in the NBA who is quite clear about his being a Christ follower. So that's all good, but they are role models, and kids look up to them, and it can cause additional problems.
Yeah, let me recommend one movie that every person, even not even if you're involved in sports, just every person listening today should watch. And for the folks who are over 40, they'll remember this one, Chariots of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
That movie won, I think, multiple Oscars. It's not only an incredibly produced movie, but the message of it is just amazing for the Christian athlete or for anyone, even if you're in the workplace. It shows Eric Liddell, who was this athlete from Scotland, and three other athletes from England, and they were getting ready for the Olympics and so forth. And what it does is it subtly shows the different motivations of these four different athletes. And Eric Liddell was a Christian, so he did everything for Christ's glory. And the other athlete, his antagonist in the movie, Abrams, you know, was more self-focused, and that really comes out in the movie. And I would just so highly recommend. It's so inspiring to see how you can do sports or do business or whatever you do in life. Like we're talking about in Colossians 3:23, how you can do it heartily for the Lord rather than for men, for other people's approval, or for yourself. And so he's just, I think, one of the best representations of that. Eric Liddell, after he won the Olympics in running in 1924, he became a missionary over into China. He left England, went to China. It's an amazing story.
It's a great story. And one of the great Eric Liddell quotes, which I know from memory, is from that movie, was this: God made me fast, and when I run, I feel God's pleasure.
That I just love that quote. That was the one I was thinking of too, Bill. You know, that is, God made me a certain way. He gives us each gift. Some of it are athletic. Some of it may be in math or mechanical engineering. Who knows what the gifts are? They're all different. But God made us this way. And when I do them for his glory, I can feel his pleasure. I mean, that's like almost like an inspired line in that movie. And I think that's something that parents listening today or athletes listening today can take to heart. You know, God may have made you with to be able to play baseball or basketball well. Okay, so do it, and when you do it, feel his pleasure. Do it for his glory. It's called the audience of one, not the audience that's in the stands, but the audience of Jesus Christ, doing all you can, consciously putting off the temptations to do things for yourself, or the fear, or the idolatry that can easily seep in, because that's what the sports world has become all about. Put off that, as Scripture says, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, where you consciously and actively do your sport for his glory.
Mm-hmm. So, David, when you were playing professionally and you were on the court, whether you were at Wimbledon or the French Open, you obviously have a narrative going on in your head and in your heart, which is, I want to beat this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to win. But I know your heart as well, and that is you want to be honoring God and bringing glory to his name in all circumstances. And so you had that daily grind of training and the pressure of competition. How did you blend those two together?
And that's a great question, and that really is the battle, Bill, for all of us, whether we're in sports or not. We have to constantly be throughout the day be recognizing what we're thinking, and if it's not the way God wants us to think, We need to replace those thoughts with the truth of God's word. So it's so easy to be out on the professional tennis tour and be thinking, if I win this match, I'm going to win this much money. And if I lose this match, what is it going to do to my ranking?
Mm-hmm.
All of these, again, self-focused things. And instead, be recognizing that, nope, that's not thinking the right way. I need to think a different way. I need to replace those wrong thoughts with the truth of Scripture. It's almost like temptation. You know, when Christ was faced with temptation by Satan, three times he says, it is written,
mm-hmm.
because he was being told a lie, mm-hmm. or a temptation, and he quickly recognized it and then replaced it with Scripture. It's the same thing for the athlete or anyone as well, to be honest, anyone who faces any temptation. You recognize it and replace it with the truth of Scripture. So, you know, I love the passage in Ephesians 4. It says, if indeed you have heard Christ and have been taught in him, and as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, the old way, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So there's this idea of put off the old self and put on the new man, but you can only do that when you're being immersed daily in the Word of God, when the Holy Spirit is renewing your mind, as it says in Romans chapter 12. That's a daily active thing we need to do in our lives. So we will start thinking more of the right way instead of the old way.
Mm-hmm. All right, David, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, I'm going to have some more questions for you, so stay put. It's 47 minutes after the hour. Thanks for listening this morning. Be back in a minute. Nine minutes after the hour. Good morning. Nice to have you on board. I'm talking to David Wheaton, host of the Christian Worldview radio show, and also a former professional tennis player and a good friend of mine. David, you know, God gave you a lot of natural athletic gifts, and I know you took them to their full advantage. How tall are you again? Are you 6'3"?
I'm 6'4".
6'4", yeah. Do you think there's another growth spurt in the...
I'm going the other way now.
Oh, really?
Getting near 50 here. I think I'm going the other way.
Yeah,
but let me just correct a little bit what you said there. I actually don't think I took my full advantage of the abilities God gave me. I know it's maybe...
Interesting.
I look back and I think I could have done sports much more God's way. And that's one of the regrets I have, actually. You know, I grew up and obviously was very involved in tennis and, you know, did quite well from an external standpoint. But as I got into my teens and late teens, early 20s, off to college and so forth, I began to do things not God's way,
mm-hmm.
begin to go away from him. And it wasn't until I was 24 years old that God actually used part of what he uses. He used sports. The crucible for me of being involved in sports, it was my livelihood, the tremendous highs and the low lows of those extremes of showing me, you know, my need to be right with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that God used sports. I mean, that's why we're talking about this today. Sports can be a very impactful part of life that God can use not only to bring us to himself in salvation, but also to use for sanctification and holiness as well. So I look back and say, I know I did some of it right, for sure, and especially after I became to a saving faith in Christ when I was 24. I really started on that process of trying to understand how I can play for that audience of one. But it was a road, and I would do things much differently if I could go back. And
mm-hmm.
so that's why I think this is a very important topic for parents and for athletes to think about.
Okay. David, what advice might you have for parents? And maybe they're watching their child or they're sensing that their child is afraid of failure on the court or on the rink or the field. And maybe their nerves are such that it actually hinders their performance. And the parents can see that. What can parents do? What kind of advice can you give the parents to encourage them?
Well, it all starts with the parents. In other words, if the parents don't have the right perspective on it, that is even silently communicated to the sons and daughters. So the parents have to have a rock-solid perspective on sports. They have to understand the purpose of sports is to grow in character, not just to win or lose. So kids will feel that right away. If you come off the court or the field or the whatever, and the first thing he says, did you win?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. If everything's focused on the winning aspect and if there's great disappointment by the parents when you lose or played badly, you know, you're communicating the wrong things to your son or daughter. You need to have the perspective, the mentality that, you know, the objective here is to please God, to grow in character. It's a process. It's not just an outcome. Yes, the objective is to win. Yes, the objective is to win, but the highest purpose is to glorify God. So if there's the effort there, if there's attitude, if they prepared well, if they did as best as they could, those are the things to really be complimentary on rather than simply the W or the L. And I think the second thing, Bill, is just be very, very circumspect about letting sports overtake your family's life. It's very easy to do. You know, the way it just can be all-consuming. Coaches, they don't care one bit about your family having meals together, or devotions together, or going to church and stuff. They don't care at all. They care about their team. So you need to be really careful about how far you're willing to go where it starts to interfere with your family life and not let it do that, because sports is never worth losing a close, tight-knit, God-fearing, God-loving family.
Mm-hmm. David, you raised an interesting point. If the team has a practice Sunday morning at 9, and whose call is it? Is it the kids' call to say, I'm staying home or I'm going to go to church with the family? Or is it the parents that say, you're junior, you're not going to practice today because we're going to be going to church instead?
Well, no, it's the parents' call, the authority in the home. And I think the best thing for parents to do is before the season to talk with the coach and say, find out how many practices are going to be on Sunday morning. You know, tell them how, it's important for our family to be at church. And, if a coach is completely unwilling to ever allow, your son and daughter to go to church with you on Sunday because you have to be at every practice and, there are games on Sunday morning, you may want to actually not be on that team if it's going to really, again, if it's going to interfere with your family life, especially as it relates to your family's spiritual life, it's not worth it. It's not that you can never play a game on Sunday and occasionally miss church or whatever. I mean, the tennis finals are often on Sunday, so I often miss church on the road and so forth. But, there's something that I think parents can sense about where the emphasis is in the family. When that emphasis gets weighted too much, too strongly on the sport, taking away from the family spiritual life, then there's a problem. So talking up front with the coach, I think, is very important. And, not surprising them halfway through the season where you're missing every game on Sunday morning, looking at the schedule in advance, knowing what you're getting into, so perhaps you can avoid those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. And then what about team sports versus individual sports? You obviously played largely an individual sport. It was you against the world. But what about parents as they're trying to encourage their kids to get involved in sports? Is there a preference, one over the other, or a little bit of both? What would you encourage?
I would encourage parents not to specialize too much in sports at too young of an age. That's something that is very common today. You get a child and you think by age 7 or 8, if they're going to be a baseball player, they need to specialize in that sport and have, personal trainers and personal coaches and so forth. They want to make it to the major leagues. I would say that's probably not the best idea, because you can just, the ones that make it to the major leagues are the ones that survive, but all their other ones probably got burned out by focusing so much on one sport. Just let them do a variety of sports, not too many so it overwhelms your family again, but just a few different ones. It builds athletic ability, and I think that's the best way to go at a young age, is make sure it's fun for them, they enjoy it, and they build the different athletic abilities that are going to be useful when they maybe do specialize later in their teens. And let me mention one other organization, Athletes in Action, is a good one as well, and they're involved in high schools and campuses as a division of CREW.
Mm-hmm. Are you a little twitchy this time of year with Wimbledon on?
A little bit, a little bit. I have a lot of great memories. Yeah. That was my favorite tournament, and I wish I could go back and do it, but it's for a short time in life, and you got to take advantage of it when you're there.
I get it. That's great wisdom, David. Thanks so much for being a guest this morning. As always, I love what you share. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good day.
Yeah, you bet. It's 56 minutes after the hour. Thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back in just a minute.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.